Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the quarterly EN call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, August 18th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Rob Fast. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everybody from Baltimore. This is Robert Path, Deputy Associate Commissioner for the Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support. Thank you all for dialing into this quarterly All Employment Network call. We are very happy to have you participate. We have a full agenda for you and some really exciting news and some introductions to make. And without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and jump right into that. The first introduction, so we cover all of our bases here with these introductions, and we have some really great new people that are going to give this program and the Ticket to Work program a lot of energy. The first I'd like to tee up to introduce to you is our new Ticket Program Manager Project Director, Felix Stump. So Felix, although while he is new in the sense that he's replacing Sabre Gardner, who has moved on within Maximus to manage other projects as well as provide some oversight to the TPM project as well. Felix is no stranger to many of us. Felix brings an enormous amount of expertise and background to the ticket program manager and its various previous incarnations under the previous operations support manager contract and so forth. Felix will be, as I indicated, serving as the TPM project director. He is a tremendous amount of, in addition to his expertise, he's very intelligent, energetic, and I enjoy working with him as well as our team here at SSA. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Felix and see if he would like to make some opening remarks. So Felix, go ahead and jump in if you would.
Thank you very much, Rob. That was exceedingly kind of you. Hi, everyone. My name is Felix Stump. As Rob mentioned, those of you who have been around a little while probably remember me. I first joined the ticket program with Maximus back in 2004 as a recruiter for New Employment Networks, as that was shortly after the final rollout of the ticket program to the Phase 3 states. And so since then, I spent a lot of time with Employment Networks within training, activation, recruitment in its various phases and shapes. And so I probably have met very many of you out on the road at a recruiting event or at various ticket program specific events. And a couple of years ago, after having been the deputy project director under Sabre Gardner for a few years, I, in 2014, moved on from the ticket program but remained with Maximus. I went over to another project that we have, that one with the Department of Education, and learned some great things there, and have now come back effective just a few weeks ago as the new project director for the ticket program again. So I could not be happier to be back working with a great bunch of people here at the TPM with Social Security and, of course, with all of you out in out on the ground providing the service that we're all here to support. So I look forward, to, hopefully, to getting a chance to speaking with many of you. My contact information, I'm sure, will make its rounds, so feel free to reach out. Otherwise, I guess that's it. I'll turn it back over to you, Rob. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Felix. I appreciate that. And welcome again. And I like to think that SSA is more fun than Department of Education, but, you know, that's a biased opinion. But at any rate, welcome back.
I verify that to be true.
The second introduction I will now transition into, we were fortunate to be able to add a new hire. And I think that this is going to be very beneficial to the program. We were able to add a senior advisor, and her name is Melanie Porter, and some of you may be familiar with that name as well. Melanie actually comes to us from Booz Allen Hamilton, where she led our what we used to call the BASS contract. And BASS was our outreach beneficiary access and support. I can't remember all these services. Thank you, Mark. I can't remember all these acronyms all the time. But Melanie was pivotal in her role in that capacity relative to the social media efforts we had underway, helping us manage the ticket call center and other efforts. And so now that we have brought her into SSA, we will look to her to help us provide guidance and feedback to Maximus and the TPM contract on many of the issues that she formerly participated in, as well as other general areas where she can give us program expertise. She has a lot of experience with SSA and the Ticket to Work program. So without further ado, I will turn it over to our senior advisor, Melanie Porter. So Melanie, if you would go ahead and say hello.
Thank you, Rob, and I'm delighted to join the Social Security team. As Rob mentioned, some of you may know me from my previous role as the project director for the BASS contract. However, many of you may not know that my journey with Social Security began many, many years ago. I was a beneficiary who spent many years on the disability rolls, first receiving SSI, then becoming a worker's adult child in transition to SSDI. And so I worked with my state VR agency for several years to get the education, training, and support that I needed to join the workforce. And after I finished graduate school, I landed my first job, which was actually at Maximus. And I had never heard of the ticket program, but as I learned about it, studied the regulations, I was the quality assurance coordinator for the training department, where I trained all of the call center agents who worked at the ticket helpline. And because I was still in my trial work period at that time and learning about the ticket program, lo and behold, I received a ticket in the mail. And so at that time, I wore two hats. As a beneficiary, I was able to gain firsthand insight into what it was like to navigate the program as a beneficiary and assign my ticket to an EN, but I was also training people and working inside with the program manager as part of operations. And so from there, I moved on and went to Booz Allen a couple of years later and spent about the next 5 or 6 years supporting a lot of different projects at Social Security outside of ticket, mainly under the Electronic Disability or EDIB initiative, as some of you may be familiar with it, doing a lot of IT strategy and SDLC work, risk management, business continuity planning, and service level management, but also got to experience some of the policy side and ECDR stuff and spent the last couple of years before ticket working with the Office of Disability Adjudication and Review, looking at different ways to help expedite the case preparation process. So my transition to Social Security was very natural for me. I was familiar with it, knew the work. Ticket is something that I am extremely passionate about. I believe in the program, and I look forward to continuing the success of the program and working with all of you. And just one last note in case anyone is wondering. I was at Maximus. I joined there shortly before Felix came in, and so I'm just happy to report that Felix did pass all of his assessments with flying colors, so you are all in good hands with Felix as your project director. So thank you, Rob. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Melanie. That was a great introduction, and we are thrilled to death here at SSA to be able to steal you from the outside and bring you in and tap into all that expertise, so welcome again. The third introduction is exciting for us as well, and by way of a little bit of background, we have conducted last year marketing summit in Dallas region, and I received a lot of feedback at that time on everything Ticket to Work related, even though we were really trying to get ideas on how to market the program. Some of those comments dealt with the communication that had been made in a field office and some complications perhaps here or there, things that had been said to beneficiaries or communicated to employment networks, and you know, general communication issues or things related to our field offices and operations. And you know, in some areas we do a really good job with our SSA partners, our operations partners in the field office. In some other areas, you know, there's probably a need for us to try to emphasize communication regarding return to work efforts and dispelling myths about going back to work. So we made the case as a component last fall, requesting two operations through our executive management for what we refer to as essentially as an, I think it's a work champion, but really we refer to it as an operations executive employment support lead, who would serve as our go-to person in operations on all things employment support and ticket to work related. And I'm pleased to announce today that over the winter, Hyacinth Hinojosa was gracious enough to step into that role. And he is, by ways of brief introduction, I'll let him talk a little bit more about his expertise and background, but he is the Assistant Regional Commissioner in our San Francisco Regional Office. Hi has been tremendous to work with. We have engaged Hi on a number of issues, and some of that I'll get into a little further along, but for now, I wanted to turn it over to Hi and introduce him as our new Operations Lead Executive for Employment Support. So, Hi, if you'd be kind enough to please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Rob, for that gracious introduction, and I really appreciate the invitation to this this call today to talk a little bit about my background at Social Security and also about the role that that we are working on and that I've been asked to step into. I've been a Social Security employee with a field office background for you know, over 20 years. I came in to a field office in Southern California and come up the ranks. But where I work now is, as you stated, in the San Francisco Regional Office, and my role as the Assistant Regional Commissioner is to support the 6,000 employees in the San Francisco region in the areas of human resources, automation, budget, and policy. And so I have a deep understanding of what is going on in the field. I interact with our field components on a regular basis. And so I'm happy to represent all of our employees nationwide in our network of field offices, and also the other frontline components that, that our public interacts with, which is our 800 number, our teleservice center employees, and our program center employees who help folks through either the 800 number or through processing of claims and reports of work and other such things. So I am really happy to take on this new role. As you know, supporting beneficiaries to return to work is a goal of the Social Security Administration. And so this new executive lead role is really about renewing our efforts as an agency to strengthen our support for return to work programs, and in particular, you know, ticket to work is what we're discussing today. I understand there are competing demands between supporting employment goals and for our field office employees and keeping up with day-to-day workloads. But we believe it is critical for an executive in operations to engage and shape plans and expectations. And so to that end, we're developing and we have started an excellent partnership with Rob and his staff in this new role. And I really see my role as an executive champion in this role. And I'll lay out what I think are some, not an all-inclusive list, but just an idea of some of the things that I'll be focusing on. And so there's five key points. One is to coordinate and communicate openly and often with our field office components and our regional commissioners, who are the executives in the region, to ensure that return-to-work programs are discussed on a consistent basis throughout our operations community. The second is to enhance technical expertise in our field by supporting training and communication amongst our staff, which include area work incentive coordinators and our work incentive liaisons in our field structure. Third, we want to ensure consistency of messaging on ticket to work and work incentives to our public from the field office staff. We want to assist in the coordination of meetings and discussions amongst field components between SSA and our stakeholders, and I know, Rob, you'll talk a little bit about that. And then we also want to, fifth, help identify and address some wage reporting issues and to make sure that we're prioritizing the timeliness of wage reporting and developing strategies to reduce overpayments for our public. So these are some of the goals that we're working on, and I'm really happy to join this partnership and join the team here on the Employment Network call. So thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Hi, and it's been a tremendous experience working with you, and your partnership has been very beneficial and helpful so far. And to illustrate that, and also relative to your point that you made, your third point, I believe it was, of ensuring consistency of messaging, we collaborated, Hi and myself and our team here and his folks back in San Francisco region, along with the area managers in Los Angeles, to set up what we refer to as a operations summit. And this took place on Thursday, August the 11th in downtown Los Angeles. So as timing worked extremely well in this matter, we already had Gary and a member of his team in Los Angeles during that date, that week, conducting Employment Network site reviews. And it just so happened that Hi had a scheduled meeting in Los Angeles of his area managers, and we were able to successfully coordinate within that particular time frame a meeting where we could bring in all of the local Los Angeles area SSA staff relative to and the roles of some of these folks, just to briefly mentioned, were technical experts, operations supervisors, district manager, claims specialist, assistant district manager, and so forth. So we had a total of 68 participants, and that's between the SSA operations managers and staff that participated, and included folks from our component, ORDES, as well as our Ticket to Work stakeholders. And the Ticket to Work stakeholders that participated were the local WIPA, the local PABs. We also invited several local employment networks to come and participate, and the local Los Angeles Division of Rehabilitation, all of which were given opportunity to share information with the operations attendees and relative to the types of services that they provide. And it was a great opportunity to exchange information back and forth. A lot of what I saw was a lot of information and breaking off into small groups between sessions and sharing a lot of enthusiasm. So the messaging, and Hi was kind enough to give some introductory comments and sort of set the stage for us. And the messaging was, you know, we're sort of selling hope here. And the idea is if we can take advantage of the opportunity when we're in front of the public, if we're in an operations capacity, you're sort of the first line and the first line messenger of the opportunities available through Ticket to Work and encouraging the idea of going back to work, maybe at a time when a person's just coming into disability and dealing with that, but that's not necessarily the end of the story. So a tremendous amount of information sharing was exchanged, as well as, you know, contact information and other things where we could refer people to the website, the Choose Work website, and the teleservice center to help share that information with the public and encourage the discussion of work and employment support. So I'm going to transition into the next item on the agenda, which is we are working together, Hi, myself, and our teams, to schedule a meeting in the Denver region, actually in Denver. This is currently in development, so we do not have specific logistical information other than our target date for this is Tuesday, September 13th. We had a call yesterday, as a matter of fact, between Hi and our managers and executives in the Denver region to flesh out some possible agenda topics and other areas for discussion. We have engaged some of our ENs and some of our WIPA and PAB stakeholders to notify them about this meeting. just so that, you know, they're aware that, that more information will be coming. And we do plan to share more information shortly and recontact folks. But tentatively right now, we're looking at Tuesday, September 13th, and this would be our second operations meeting to discuss Ticket to Work and the benefits of the Ticket to Work program and the communication and other activities associated with Ticket to Work and any employment activities that are underway in the Denver region. So stay tuned for some more information. We will reach out. Again, there are logistics to be worked out, size and space issues, and so we'll communicate these things through the proper channels and likely relegate this to participants that are in the immediate Denver area. But we're hoping as we move forward that we can capitalize on this and expand this into other regions as budgetary allocations permit. So stay tuned. I think this is the beginning of a great partnership and a great effort to promote this program among our operations staff. So we'll get back to you with more information on that, and so stay tuned for that particular information on that summit. So moving into, and I noticed that I've got all these items here today, so I'm just going to keep going. This is the other piece to the marketing summit back in Dallas, and a lot of ideas were thrown out. But one of the things that has been raised to us both there and over the years is the presence of the Ticket to Work program on the SSA.gov homepage. So I'm pleased to announce, after what seems to be a long time of communication and discussion with our Office of Communications, that we were actually able, and we are there right now, to get a link or a piece of the SSA.gov homepage. If you go to SSA.gov or you Google SSA, it should lead you to our SSA.gov public webpage for all things SSA. If you scroll down on that page and you look in the bottom right corner, you will see Ticket to Work. You should see a box that says Ticket to Work, and if you put a cursor or something over top of that or click on it, it will take you directly to our Choose Work website. So this was a tremendous achievement from all parties who were engaged in this. And so we actually have a direct link to the Choose Work website via our logo or a box that is currently placed on the SSA.gov homepage. So we're pleased to announce that. We're also engaged with the Office of Communications to add a Ticket to Work piece to a campaign that our Office of Communications has, and that's called the Faces and Facts of Disability. We do not have that additional piece added into the website yet, but it has been added into the paper documents. So there are several faces and facts, so to speak, of disability. I believe it's 1 through 6 right now. We will be the 7th, and essentially the additional fact will say that you can work and keep your benefits, and there will be information associated with that, and it will direct people who go to that outward-facing page to our Choose Work website and our call center. So that's in the works. Not quite out there yet, but it will be on the Internet shortly. It's already on their paper documents. So that's all of my updates. I want to thank everybody for those introductions, and Felix and Melanie and Hi, and I appreciate your participation and support. Without further ado, I will turn it over for an update on our virtual job fair campaign, and turn it over to Karen Davidson at Ticket Program Manager. Karen?
Thank you, Rob. This is Karen Davidson. I wanted to give you a quick update on the virtual job fair. As many of you know, it's August 24th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And things are going really well. We've got over 400 beneficiaries confirmed and registered for the virtual job fair, and 122 service providers, which I'm really excited about because we have been encouraging you to participate in the virtual job fair, so that's great. We have 28 employers who are confirmed to have booths at the virtual job fair. A list of the employers is on the virtual job fair webpage, which the link to that is on your agenda. It is on the Choose Work website under the Find a Job section, and you'll see virtual job fairs in that tab. Some of the well-known companies that will be familiar to you that are participating is Anthem, AT&T, Coca-Cola, Comcast, Merck, Raytheon, Sodexo, Gannett, USA Today, which is the same company. So all but two of those employers are shown on our website. It's going to be updated tomorrow. We have two brand new ones, which is Hub International and SRI International. So I would encourage you to go into that website, look at the employer list. There are links to their job sites for each one of those companies, and now is the perfect time. If you've got beneficiaries participating, now is a great time to go in and search their jobs, put in your city, state, and prepare for the virtual job fair. So that's pretty much one thing we're doing different this year that we got a lot of recommendations for is we're going to open up the job site. There's a virtual job fair platform 1 hour before the start. So 10 a.m. Eastern Time, beneficiaries will be able to go in there and set up their profile and upload their resume. The employer booths will not be open until 11 a.m. So that's something we've added this time. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Adele Barr.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Karen. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm here to speak to you regarding the learning management system, and we've elected to use Blackboard. Since July, you've actually received a few communications and gearing up towards this. Just to share a few things, Blackboard actually has a few features, and we're going to use two of them, Blackboard Collaborate and Blackboard Learn. Blackboard Collaborate will be the web conferencing platform that we'll use, and we're going to move to using that in September for all calls. We hope to host that in September. And at the moment, everyone will be able to use a guest link for that to access the calls. Later in the fiscal year of 2017, we're going to implement Blackboard Learn. And in order to do that, we've asked the ENs, or the signatory authorities at the ENs, to submit a training coordinator for the LMS. We currently have received just over 160 responses to that. So thank you very much. We have set a deadline of submitting an LMS training coordinator by August 29th, so we look forward to hearing from all of you. And just so that there's an understanding of what does that mean to have an LMS training coordinator, we have elected to have one account per EN. So the coordinator that is selected for this responsibility, basically their task will be to share that link or the information that's disseminated from Blackboard, be it any training material, any announcements that go out. In addition to that, since there is one login that will be shared, the responsibility of the person who is appointed, the Learning Management System Training Coordinator, they will be responsible for managing who they share that link with in their staff. So that's primarily what that person will be responsible for. I understand we have received a few questions. I hope that helps and understand and alleviate that there won't be much training going on. I know training sounds like that's a lot to do, but really what you're doing is sharing and managing the information from Blackboard. So we will have time if there's any questions later for that. But again, thank you for joining us today, and that is my information for today on Blackboard, the LMS. And what I will do now is turn it over to Katie Streibinger, and she will discuss ticket assignment.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to alert you to an issue we are having with ticket assignment. SSA is currently investigating an issue with a ticket portal that I wanted to bring to your attention. In some instances, the ticket portal is incorrectly allowing ENs to assign tickets when the beneficiary is not in current pay status. These are invalid assignments, and SSA will be removing these assignments from the record after we resolve the issue. In the meantime, if you submit a payment request for a beneficiary whose case was incorrectly assigned, please be aware that your payment will be denied. When you submit your payment request, our payment staff reviews the ticket assignment, and if they discover that the beneficiary was not in current pay at the time of the assignment, they will deny the payment. I want to assure you that we will let you know when the problem is corrected. We are working crazily trying to fix this, and as soon as we have a fix, we will communicate our plan for removing the invalid assignment. We will keep you in the loop as we move forward. And I'm going to send it over to Mark Green.
Oh, gee, thanks, Katie, for that delightful social lead-in. Right. Hi, everyone. I won't take up much time. I have mainly updates and a quick FYI, and I want to leave time for Lisa Ness, who has a full and rich presentation on one of our favorite topics, and I'm sure yours as well, timely progress. So let me just launch right into it. I'm going to discuss site visits first. Remember last year we conducted site visits of 30-something years and a handful of whippers. I think we discussed this in the last meeting in May. We're in the middle, really the middle of the site visit season now. Last year and this year we conducted basically three different types of site visits. Excuse me. One is a QA audit of ENs that are using a specific model. Last year we visited all of the ENs that are using the consumer-directed services. This year we visited all the ENs that are employing beneficiaries for whom they have tickets and some other ENs where it became necessary to do a QA audit. Secondly, we do EN site visits. We try to select ENs that have different characteristics that we find interesting, some who have a lot of payments, some who don't, and try to learn from different sizes of ENs, different models across the country. And third, we're doing site visits of WIPAs. So I think we'll be doing about 35 of those through the end of the fiscal year when the money runs out. So at any given moment, half of our staff is flying around the country. I think Rob is encircling the globe since about May. If we have visited you, thank you very much for your hospitality. We'll be sending out your site visit reports presently. Let me move into a quick update on the various proofs of concept. I'm going to start with the one that's the most long-running, and that's the BPQI. You've heard us speak about this many times, so just quickly, it is going full guns. We have satisfied well over 15,000 requests so far directly from the dedicated staff here in central office, and we're still satisfying those requests in under 5 working days. We hope to, in the near future, call upon some internal resources to add some staff to the dedicated staff now. And when we're able to accomplish that, we will be inviting some additional providers, ENs, with the agencies, to participate in the the proof of concept and receive BPQI directly from us. We will notify you directly about that. Secondly, I'll discuss the marketing proof of concept. This we've also discussed before. It's an outgrowth of our decision to stop sending the beneficiary marketing CD last March. Starting in April, I think, we've invited 20-something ENs to participate in this marketing proof of concept. Again, generally, the idea is that the employment network, once they pass muster, will give us some information on which types of beneficiaries they want to contact, what types of disabilities, age ranges, things like that. We prepare the file here. We send that file over a secure messaging to the employment network, and they use that to get either the name and address if they want to do direct mailing, or they get a name and telephone number if they want to do telephone calls, either robocalls or live calls. this is going very well. We've sent the files to 6 or 7 ENs. It takes time to prepare the file, if you're wondering why it's taking so long, because it takes about a week to prepare the file, and it's kind of labor-intensive, pulling information from various databases and putting them together. But we're looking forward to receiving some information from the ENs who have been participating in this proof of concept for a while to determine what was the effectiveness of this. How many calls did you get? How many responses did you get to your website from beneficiaries who received your outreach? So we can determine how to proceed in the future. Oh, sure.
So
Bob wasn't done apparently before. It's more
I'm becoming more and more narcissistic as this call goes forward. I just want to add to Mark's point about the marketing POC. First of all, I want to thank you all who expressed an interest for your patients. This has been very difficult, particularly difficult. Everything we do is pretty difficult, but this was particularly difficult initiative in that we had to check with our general counsel. We got to a place where we thought we had the information we needed. We started moving, and then some issues arose without going into a lot of detail, and we had to go back and recheck with our general counsel and change the guidance that we gave to those participants who wanted to get the information through the marketing POC. And all that took a lot of time, but I want to thank everyone for their patience. I want to thank my team internally for keeping this moving forward, and particularly Terry Lesko has been helpful on our team, and Katie Schreibinger as well, as in terms of putting these files together. That's a lot of work also. You have to go in and you have to have very sophisticated understanding of the databases and where this particular data comes from, and then merge those things into an electronic folder. And Mark and Gary for their help in putting together a business process. And, of course, David Weaver's the one that gave the final okay with this. So we're moving forward on that. So I just wanted to add that to Mark's piece. So go ahead, Mark. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. I'll just move on to the last proof of concept, which is probably the most interesting one. We've talked about this for a while. It is not started yet. It's the, we call it the wage reporting proof of concept, and it's part of Acting Commissioner Colvin's initiative to minimize improper payments because of earnings. And one of the things we found a couple of years ago, we did some analysis, is as a cohort, people who participate in the ticket program actually have a higher incidence of overpayments than those who return to work without participating in the ticket program, which is kind of embarrassing because they give us their earnings. So why is that happening? Well, we've figured out a couple of reasons why that happens, and one solution we're working to implement is to have the ticket program manager, Maximus, make an input directly into the wage reporting system we have called eWorks, which many of you probably heard about, which is a field office a database. So this is a very big step for us. Maximus will be receiving earnings from employment networks, as they have in the past. Employment networks send them in when they request payments, or when they just want to help their beneficiary get through the trial work period, things like that. Most of those earnings are considered verified earnings because they're coming from employers. We will input that directly into eWork, which will generate a work report and help us control the overpayments by initiating the process a lot quicker than we used to before. That's still in the making. This is a very complicated thing. It involves a lot of systems resources. We have, I don't think I'm exaggerating, there have been at least 20 people who are working regularly on this wage reporting proof of concept. But I hope you can understand what the potential impact of this is in reducing overpayments to beneficiaries, which is, of course, good for the agency and for the beneficiaries. And it's good for you because beneficiaries will be receiving less of those terrifying notices about overpayments. And if it works properly, we'll be able to pay you quicker because we will have the verified earnings in our record, and we'll be able to change the beneficiary's pay status much more expeditiously. Lastly, and this is more of an FYI, as part of the agency's initiative to help the transitioning youth population we have on our rolls. We have millions of young people receiving SSI. Many of you probably know that at age 18, these beneficiaries have to go under a redetermination to determine if they meet the adult standards and not the childhood standards. Many of them do, and too many of them stay on the rolls for far too long and don't develop a work history. So we've taken a couple of steps. Last year, we expanded the population that our WIPAs can help. They are now able to help beneficiaries as young as 14, and the call center is now referring non-ticket-related calls from representatives of the beneficiary to the WIPAs so they can reach out to them and help them transition into the world of work. And tomorrow, coincidentally, the agency is mailing out 360,000 notices to beneficiaries in this age range, highlighting a booklet that we have had in existence for a while called What You Need to Know About Supplemental Security Income. We've added a page in there to reflect that the WIPAs will be able to help this population. This is a one-time mailing this year, but it is an ongoing event every year. We will be mailing this notice. We can make this available if we haven't already on Maximus website to beneficiaries, FSI beneficiaries 14, 15, 16, and 17 to let them know what services are available to them now and what might be available to them if they pass the age 18 redetermination and become eligible for a ticket. Thank you very much, and I will turn this over to Lucinette.
Thank you, Mark. The first slide.
Here we go.
Thank you. The topic for today is timely progress review. I'm going to review first the objectives of the session. First will be to discuss timely progress review fundamentals. Next, I'm going to discuss how the Ticket to Work program impacts continuing disability reviews. Third, discuss the TPR requirements. Then I'm going to describe the TPR process, including TPR appeals and reentries. Next, I'll describe the service provider responsibilities in the TPR process. Next, I'm going to discuss the TPR implementation schedule, and finally, I'm going to identify the TPR resources available to service providers. Next slide. Next. So now we're actually going to discuss timely progress review fundamentals and continuing disability review protections. Next. What exactly is a timely progress review? A TPR is the Social Security Administration's way of tracking the progress of a ticket holder under the Ticket to Work program. Essentially, SSA expects ticket holders to make progress towards financial independence while their tickets are in the in-use status. TPR is based on guidelines established by SSA through regulations that were effective July of 2008. We're going to introduce the specific guidelines later in this session. In general, the TPM conducts a review at the end of approximately every 12-month period of active ticket use to determine if bennies are making the expected progress. At the same time, the portal will be open for service provider input. A TPR pass entitles the bennie to medical CDR protection, meaning that disability benefits continue. Usually, CDR protection is granted to bennies involved in the Ticket to Work program who have tickets in the assigned status and are making timely progress. However, very important here is that assignment, progress made by the bennie, or payment of services either by or to the service provider does not always guarantee protection from a CDR. And actually, what I just said is very important, and that has really caused a lot of the problems with Bennies being called up for CDRs. In addition, you must consider all aspects of in-use and not in-use, including past TPR failures, successful TPR reentries, and et cetera, other items. As a service provider, it is very important to fully understand and support the TPR process and to assist Bennies not only in making TPR progress, but also in providing necessary information to the TPM and also to you in verifying that progress. Next slide. What is a CDR? A CDR is a medical review the Benny must undergo in order to determine whether he or she is eligible to continue receiving disability benefits. Initially, one of the biggest advantages of participating in the Ticket to Work program is that the Benny is protected from these reviews while the ticket is assigned. This exemption is renewed for about another 12 months if the Benny actually passes TPR. Next. With TPR, if the requirements are not met, the ticket will remain assigned to the service provider. But unfortunately, the Benny is no longer protected from CDRs. As you can see, the CDR is not conducted as soon as the protection is lost. Rather, it is conducted when it would have been conducted if the Benny had not participated in the program. Next. Next, I'm going to actually show the TPR requirements, and these are actually sent with basically every notice that goes out from SSA. Okay, this is actually the first page of the TPR review chart, which are actually requirements. Next slide. And that's the second page of the same chart. Okay, here are actually the TPR requirements, and again, these reflect the 2008 regulations. These represent the work and education requirements which must be met at each level. 10% tolerances for earnings are acceptable in reviews 1 to 4, and 10% tolerances for education are acceptable in reviews 1 to 5. We're going to cover tolerances much more actually in your portal training, which I'm going to discuss like at the end when we would have that tentatively scheduled. As an example, it's the first review level, which is on the other page. But, okay, the first review actually requires that a Benny would complete, and again, it's during the review period, not at any time, but during the review period, they either have 3 months of work at the 12 work level, or they receive a GED or high school diploma, or they complete 60% of a full-time course load for an academic year in a college or trade, technical, or vocational training program, or finally, if they complete a combination of this work and education requirement. Again, I will review in much more detail about what combination means and how you get it, whatever, in the portal training. Next. Next slide. Okay. Now we're going to discuss the actual TPR process. Next. Here is actually a brief overview of the process, which I will explore in greater detail later on. In step one, as you can see, SSA checks the earnings records of those bennies that are selected that month for TPR. If the earnings are sufficient, meaning that they meet the requirements set forth by SSA, then no further actions are taken and the Benny continues along the path of self-sufficiency, unaware that a check was even made. However, if the Benny's earnings are insufficient, then SSA contacts the Benny by mail by sending what's called a TPR selection notice. At the same time that this notice is sent out, the portal will be open for TPR input by the service provider. Next. Okay, I'm just going to review. This is actually deals with step two with the selection notice that's sent out. But first, I'm just going to say something about the selection criteria. It's very, very complex. The criteria are very involved, and it includes a lot of factors such as current pay, CDR classification, assignment, and also previous TPR history. But here, very important to note is that when we do begin selection, which I will get to soon, probably in around November, we're going to begin very, very slowly with probably only 50 cases selected nationwide in the first month. Okay. So for step two, which is sending out the notice, if the Benny is selected for a TPR, SSA actually sends this selection notice to the individual at the conclusion, and this is of about every 12 months of ticket in use status. And this is to determine if the Benny is making the expected progress with work and or earning and or education. At the same time, the SSA portal will be open for 55 days to all service providers for TPR input. The service provider can only pass the Benny. If the TPM, meaning Maximus, receives the SSA 1375, which is actually part of the selection notice which SSA has sent out. So if Maximus receives the 1375 from the Benny, the service provider has not passed the Benny, and the timeframes are acceptable. In other words, we are within the 55 days from the date of the notice. Maximus, actually, what will happen, they will open a case and begin a review. Again, we plan to have very extensive TPR portal training well before TPR implementation, which will tell you exactly what to do in the portal, when to do it, what happens if you don't do it, what Maximus is going to be doing at the same time. Next slide. Okay, the next few slides are examples of what, they're actual examples of a TPR selection notice that is sent to the Benny. Next. Okay, all of the previous pages were examples of what the Benny is going to receive. This is an example of the notice that is going to be received by the Benny. The notice is tailored to the person, including the review level, and actually this is review level one. The review period, so we'll give them exactly what we're talking about when, as far as the progress that you made, like it will tell them what dates we're looking for between what date and what date. the requirements, what is necessary, the questions, everything is tailored directly to that person. So in addition, the specific earnings amounts are listed that the Benny has to meet, and it allows for the 10% tolerances in reviews 1 to 4. No mathematical calculations at all are required by the Benny. All notices give the Benny 30 days from the notice date to respond. The time frame is generally 55 days in order to allow for mail time and also contract time. Next. So with a pass, this is what happens with TPR initial, that's what we call them, TPR initial decisions, a pass. With if the Benny passes, regardless of its, whether it's by through the portal or through Maximus adjudicating the case, CDR projection is extended, no letter is sent, and the next TPR will be scheduled in about another 12 months of in use. Next. Okay, this is what happens if the decision, the initial decision, is a failure. In this case, the only failure can come through Maximus adjudicating you all through the portal can only pass a person. So if the Benny fails TPR, the proposed failure notice is sent, giving an option to appeal. Benefits are not affected. I mean, you can fail TPR, but it has nothing to do with the benefits unless there is a CDR at some point. The Benny maintains CDR protection for 55 days from the date of notice release and through the appeal processing. The individual is subject to regularly scheduled CDRs once a final failure is effective. And assignment and reassignment, that's the last bullet. They're usually not affected by a proposed or a final failure. I will get into this more during the portal training. There are some issues with systems and also actually in our regs having to do with current pay and reassigning. But I would get into that later. But in general, you can assign and reassign even if you fail or propose that failure. Next. Now we are going to discuss appeals and reentries. Next. For appeals, the Benny has 55 days from the date of the proposed failure notice to submit a request for appeal. Again, the actual notice, that proposed failure notice, will give the Benny exactly what has to, it will list out exactly what they need to do, what they need to submit, who they submit it to. Everything is right in that letter. The request must contain, here you must, for an appeal or later reentry, you need supporting documentation. Whereas on the initial, with the initial selection notice, the Benny only has to check off whatever they did. No documentation is required. Requests from the Benny for an appeal can either be mailed or faxed, and it's actually to Maximus. But SSA makes the final decision in the appeals. And decision notices are released from SSA to the Benny, unlike initial where allowances are not released, failures are. Next. Okay. This is a TPR reentry where it is successful. I'm not going to, again, really review a lot of this. This is a very difficult concept. We'll probably talk about this more again during the portal training, but after you fail a TPR, evidence can be submitted at any time to show that the requirements of the review period have been met. The call center will instruct the Benny as to what is needed. In other words, all that the Benny needs to do is call the call center. They will tell them exactly what needs to be submitted, which is two maximas, to hopefully re-enter TPR and get back into in-use status. If the re-entry is successful, the individual will earn approximately another 12 months of CPR protection. An in-use status is effective the month and year of the notice, and a decision notice here is actually
released. Pardon the disruption or the interruption. Please make sure that your line is on mute if you're on the call.
Next slide. Okay, for a TPR reentry that was submitted, which is a failure, the Benny will still be not in use. They weren't in use to begin with. That's why they had the reentry. If it's a failure, they're still not in use. There will be mail notification of the unsuccessful action to the Benny, and in this case, if it's a failure, the Benny will actually have 30-plus days to actually appeal that decision. Again, all of this is covered to the Benny in the notices. Next, I'm going to discuss just actually really quickly the tentative TPR implementation schedule. Next. All right. For right now, tentatively, we are scheduling portal training for all service providers at the end of October, and we hope to begin selection, again, very slowly, with maybe 50 a month, in November. Next. Okay, it is very important that you understand your responsibilities to your clients in the area of TPR. Next. You need to understand the TPR process so that you can explain the existence of TPR reviews and how they work. It is important that your Benny fully understand TPR and what the consequences are for not making timely progress. You will also want to discuss the importance of providing timely information to the TPM or to you as part of the process. Additionally, Bennies will often come to you with questions regarding TPR. This is especially true when TPR selection notices are received by your clients. If you are not able to accurately address the issues, you should contact the TPM, and I've got a contact address right. That's a Liz bullet. And finally, it is your responsibility to input the TPR information into the portal. Next are questions. Next. For any additional information that you have, please contact the TPM or Maximus at the above contact site. If they are unable to answer, or if there is, if there's some question, they will also contact us. But you can for sure just contact that specific site or contact for any questions or issues at all. Thank you.
So I, at this point, we'll turn it over for questions. There's a lot of information. I know GPR is very technical, and we can continue to provide information and communication as we move forward with this process. Also, a lot of information given earlier in the call about a variety of topics. So at this point, I'll ask if folks on the line or on the call would like to call in and ask any questions. So, operator?
Yes, at this time, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star 1. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. One moment for your first question.
Thank you, operator. As that's compiling, we did have some questions in the chat that we'll address real quick. There was a question if we can contact the new TPM manager, the senior advisor, or the operations lead. Please always note that you can always contact ENSB. They're your main point of contact, and they can always send up any questions or concerns that you may have. There was a question also about Mr. Hinojosa. Will he be able to cover all regions? We're hoping that eventually, yes, that would be the case.
And just to elaborate a little bit, if there is an issue outside of the San Francisco region or a question or we're trying to schedule an event, Hi is our point of contact, and generally he would be the person who would reach out to his counterpart in the other region for whatever the topic would be. So that's how that would work.
Okay. And one of the questions was, can we national EN participate? Please stay tuned for more information regarding that. There was a question about the virtual job fair. Has there been a follow-up on the virtual job fair, and how many are employed? We're still collecting data on that, so thank you for that question. As soon as that information is available, we'll make that available to you. There was a question regarding the LMS. Can anyone apply to be the LMS coordinator? Well, it wouldn't be something that you would apply for. You just want to speak to your signatory authority if you're interested, and they can submit your name. Thank you for that interest. There was something regarding marketing.
Marketing.
From Mark.
POC in terms of.
Oh, something flashed by really quickly. How do I get in line for the, I think it was the wage reporting, POC, but the same thing applies. You can send me an email. I will make sure you get online. It's Mark, M-A-R-K, dot green. As in the caller at ssa.gov, we are already compiling a list, so get your emails in quickly.
And also, I'm going to go back a step to the national ENs and participation in any future operations events. Yes, we would open it up. We'd like to get a handle. If you have a centralized location, a particular state or something to that effect, and we are able to hold an event in the region where your state, your operations, your state of operation occurs, we would certainly extend an outreach for your participation. But again, as I indicated before, if there are national ENs that are on this call, if there's a national EN that's in the Denver region and you think you might be interested, or in the Denver area, you have a basis of operation, please send an email through ENSB, and we will touch base with you and let you know what our status is in the logistics of getting that up and running.
Great. Thank you. I think another lot of the questions were TPR related, and we would ask if you can actually send those to TPR help desk at yourtickettowork.com. We'll certainly make a point to address those. Mark, you have something additional?
It was a TPR question.
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Send your question to the help desk.
I think I have the answer, but I...
Okay, and we will be posting the presentation online.
Today's?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
We will
yeah,
have that in our archives, so stay tuned for that as well. I think, Emma, I'm becoming like Rob. I will now open up, have the operator help us and open up the questions on the line. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. And you do have a audio question from the line of Eugenia Cox.
Hi, it's Eugenia from Oregon BR. I had a question on the chat that asked what the role of the senior advisor to the SSA team was, and that did not get responded to.
Yeah, So Melanie's role is predominantly to give, to provide us, to help us really manage the Maximus TPM contract. She is going to, for all the associated tasks that we have asked the TPM to provide to us, particularly, I'm not going to, you know, say that there's anything she wouldn't be tied to, but I think when we were looking to bring her on board, the particular areas of interest for us were the call center and our marketing pieces, also our social media presence as well, and the transitioning of that into the TPM contract away from Booz Allen, so we have some expertise on our side as we ask for deliverables and items from Maximus for those particular areas, to have her input and oversight. But there will be, you know, Melanie will be engaged in every possible way we can use her, because as she indicated during her introduction, she's a former beneficiary and ticket program participant, and also has worked both for Booz Allen and Maximus. So you get a sense of her expertise programmatically, and we're going to take advantage of that every way we possibly can moving forward.
Would it be possible to have her meet with some of the state VR agencies so that she can understand the entanglements between the Ticket to Work program and the cost reimbursement program that are for state VR agencies?
We can certainly engage her in a variety of things, as I indicated. I, you know, again, sensitive to her workloads and her assignments, we would look to use her as much as possible. I think it's a good idea.
And last question, just on the TPRs, I just want to make sure I understand this. So in the past, we've only had to look at TPRs that the beneficiaries hadn't responded to. But now, from what I gather from this meeting, I mean this call and the VR call, is that we'll both get notified and we both have to respond. Is that the same for everybody?
Yes, that is. That's
and
right. In other words, what will happen is that on day one, when if the Benny is selected, they will receive SSA will mail out the form. Also on day one, the portal will be open to all service providers to hopefully pass the person. So
yeah.
The answer is yes. Both instances, yes.
Yeah. And in the past, what had happened is we would get a notice saying that we have TPRs in there, and we would go in and look, and there would be a list of TPRs for us to review. And these were only people that did not respond.
Okay.
Now we won't get any notification at all, and we won't really know whether they responded or not either, and we won't know who the people we are to look for.
I just want to jump in and say that we will be following up with training on the portal as we get closer to implementing TPR. We've got Alyssa here. Do you have any general TPR questions instead of something specific about the process for the portal?
You will know who to look for, and we'll cover all of that in the portal. It's not going to be like you're going to have no idea. And you'll also know the status. But we're going to cover all that in the portal training.
Okay. That was my question, is will we know
who
these people are?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, thank you. Okay, thank you.
And your next question is from the line of Stacy Sapel.
Oh, hi, it's Stacy from Massachusetts with Employment and Training Resources. I actually have a two-part question. One is about, I've been trying to get in touch with somebody about, basically, I think it was Adele Barr's presentation. I was wondering if it was possible to get directly in touch with her about the learning management system. That's really the crux of my question. Is it possible to get in touch directly with her, or should I ask my question here?
Hi, Stacy. This is Adele. You can certainly get in touch with me. My email address is A, D as in Delta, E as in Echo, L, L, E as in Echo, Bar, B as in Bravo, A-R-R, at Maximus.com. Adele Bar at Maximus.com. And I'd be more than happy to address any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And your next question is from the line of Sonia Kelly.
Okay, yes, hi. I am on the conference call. I just was given an email to call this number, but I'm not really sure what it's really about. I didn't get a PowerPoint presentation or anything, so I'm new. I'm a newie and going through the process. So I was just wondering, am I supposed to be on this line or just listen, or what did I miss?
Hi, Sonia. This is Adele. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Hi, how are you?
Good. So it sounds like you're new to your employment network, or you are a new employment network?
I'm new to the employment network, and I'm new. So I was given this email address to call, and it says it's a quarterly all-EN taking place right now. So I thought this was actually my orientation, but it's not. When I heard you all, I was like, okay, I'm not understanding why I'm on the line.
Okay, well, we apologize for the confusion. As you read, this is a quarterly all EN call. This is an opportunity for us to provide information to all ENs quarterly, and an opportunity for ENs to also provide information for us, and it's an exchange of information from you as the provider and from your TPM management and also from Social Security. It's an opportunity for all of us to get together and answer some questions and exchange information. So again, yes, welcome. You're in the right place. And hopefully you'll have another email giving you more information regarding going along in your training.
Welcome, Sonia.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, well, it was great listening. I'm picking up a few things, at least the verbiage that I'm getting to know. So this happened like every 3 months, or it's quarterly, so I guess it happens every 3 months.
Yes, ma'am. Next month will be November.
November. Okay, great. Awesome. Well, that's good to know, and to be able to ask questions that we don't understand, because I know just learning the Social Security and being an EN, there's a lot of things to really understand. So this is a good support.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you again for joining us. We look forward to hearing more from you.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, and your next question is from the line of Paula Villette.
Hi, everybody. First, I wanted to welcome back Felix and hi, and Melanie, and congratulate you on getting that ticket to work on the home page. I think that's just great. One of my pet peeves is that the communications are not, the Twitter communications never mention ticket to work, and since Twitter is such an important aspect for the press look at Twitter, I just think it could help so much getting people to know about the program. So I just wanted to suggest that again and see if there's been any progress.
Paula, thank you.
I think Paula means at the OCOM, the SSA's Twitter. That's a very good, this is Mark. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
A good thought. We're trying every possible thing to promote the program. That is an excellent idea, and we'll reengage the Office of Communications, which controls SSA Twitter account, and see if we can get some traction there.
Well, that would be just fabulous. Thank you.
We do have a presence on Twitter for the Choose Work, and it's Choose Work SSA on Twitter. If you look it up, you may be already aware of that. And we're also on Facebook as well and LinkedIn. So we do have social media presence.
And you've done a really great job of it, too. It's just that this one comes to me almost every day. And I'm sick of finding out about the new baby names.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the, you're right. SSA has our Office of Communication, and they have our own Twitter.
Twitter reach.
Okay. Well, another mountain to climb, Paula.
Well, just a suggestion.
Thank you. Yes, it's a good one. Thanks.
Before we take our next question, operator, in the chat there is a question from Shauna. I will contact you directly. I will be in the office tomorrow, and we can chat and help you better understand. Okay, operator, go ahead.
Okay, your next question is from the line of Chip Carter.
Hey, I have a question that Robert and Mark may be able to answer. We are signed up to do the marketing proof of concept, and I was wanting to find out when the group would make a final decision on the specific parameters that we need to report back and file format and things like that. Once the files and everything are going back and forth.
So, Trip, how are you? Did you...
Doing wonderful.
Good to hear from you. Did you receive your information from us?
Yes.
Okay. And your question is in regards to how to convey to us the effectiveness of the information. Is that your question?
Yeah. I'm trying to, build a report with the specifics of what Social Security wants to see from the proof of concept for the ENs that participate, how many calls were made and how many were successful and so on and so forth. And Terry and I have been communicating back and forth via email, but it sounded like from my last conversation with her was that the final details on what and how we would do our report would actually come from somebody higher up at some point.
Trip, this is Mark. Look back at the email that invited you into the proof of concept. If you can't find it or it's not there, remind me, send me an email, and I will send you requirements that we have so far.
But I think the information, you're on the right track, Trip. So in other words, some of that was mentioned in the email in terms of number of calls and outcomes to whatever extent you can measure the effectiveness of the information provided, but in terms of very, very specific format, I don't think we gave any kind of templates or anything in
okay.
that regard. But if you still have questions, reach out to Mark. And
no, I just wanted to make sure. I know there was preliminary stuff in that email. I just wanted to make sure that that was the concrete, this is what we need back, or if there wasn't anything else that we may be missing out on.
No, this is Mark. If you have that, that's what we want.
Yep.
If you have additional information, you think, tell the story, please.
Okay.
Add that to it. But the file format is not that important. We're just looking for a Word document that tells us what we need to know.
And
not a problem.
To build on Mark's point, the more information, we don't need a lot, but if you've got some really compelling stuff that you'd like to include, please do so.
Okay. That works out great then.
Thanks.
Thank
okay.
you.
This is Adele. We've reached 4:30, and to be respectful to everyone's time, we take one more question, and then you can forward those questions to NSB, and we'll make sure that we answer any questions you may have or to any of the other contacts that we've actually shared today. Operator, one more question, please.
Okay, and your final question is from the line of Lisa Purdy.
Hi, everyone. I actually just had a question. Back in June, we received an email from a lady who her title is an SSA EN specialist and just wanted to know what they would be assisting us with. And also, since that initial email from that person, I've emailed them and called them several times and left them several messages without any return. So just wanted to see if I should keep following up with that person or someone else.
This is Mark. I'm going to give my email again. Would you please give me the information about this, your name, the name of your EN, and the person who sent you the email, and I will get in touch with the person who should be getting in touch with you, and you'll be here from our shore.
Okay. Mark, can you give me your email again?
Mark, M-A-R-K dot mm-hmm. green, like the
mm-hmm.
color,
mm-hmm.
and SSA dot gov.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Welcome.
So with that, we will close out. I hope that this was a helpful and informative call. I appreciate the time. I know that everyone is busy, and we do appreciate the time that you take out of your schedule to participate. We try to make these as relevant and informative as possible. Your feedback on these calls is helpful as well. And if there are topics, I want to emphasize this, if there's topics that we didn't cover today or that you would like more information about, please forward that information to us and we can build the next call around those topics and we'd be happy. We really rely on your feedback to make this call as effective as possible and provide assistance to you. So again, we appreciate your time and we wish you the best. Look forward to talking to you during the next quarterly All EN call. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Presenters, please hold.